Wake Up Late with Dougie Shaw. I'm your host, Dougie Almeida, and today I'm joined by fellow comedians, Mr. John DiResta.
Thank you.
And Mike Eshock.
What up, though?
What's going on, fellas?
What's not much. Man. Just waiting to hang.
Welcome to the show. And first of all, we usually start when I've last seen my guests. And I'll start with Mike, since the last time I saw you probably was at a World Series of Comedy event.
It was the finals, brother. We made it to the finals, right?
That's right.
We made it to the semifinals. I moved on to the finals. But I think that's the last time we hung out and saw each other.
November of 2020.
Yep.
Yeah, I made it to the top six. You made it to the top three.
Right.
And I'm still waiting to get gigs from that.
same here, man. You know, it's a grind.
It is. And but we've known each other many years from the World Series of Comedy.
Right.
John, you and I have never met in person, but we have a lot of mutual friends.
We have a lot of mutual friends, and I watched a couple of your sets a few weeks ago. I liked it. I was impressed, and now obviously I follow you on Instagram, so I kind of see that you're out and about every weekend. Good for you, dude.
Yeah, that was weird because you messaged me on Facebook, I think it was, or something, and I was like, oh, John, because I think I originally heard about you through our mutual friend Lenny Travis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, either of I. And he got married to a rich woman, and he fucks all day, and he ponders. All he does all day is ponder and fuck. that's all he does now. He loves
He wins.
He wins. Yeah.
He's like, dude.
The name of the game, bro.
Lenny's like, dude, all I do is sit around, ponder, and fuck my wife.
he used to do a joke, if that's him, about the gum that used to come in a baseball package. Do you remember that? Is that him?
Yeah.
That was like a big bit of his, that the gum was dry. It was really dry. You could might as well chew on flour, something like that.
He was like, it's the only gum that if you dropped it, it shattered.
Yeah. There you go, dude. I would have never remembered that till the day I died if you didn't bring that up. Holy cow.
That is true, though.
Yeah,
that is true.
He has a great comment.
It's funny.
Old candy bit. He's like, can you remember those sugar daddies? You know, there's no way you can eat it like without looking gay. You know, like...
You had to suckle it.
Suckle it.
Right? You had to be its friend.
Oh, man.
Absolutely. Well, welcome both to the show. And, you know, we were talking about some stuff before. You both live in California. I don't know why. One of the topics I wanted to talk about today was that, like, where should I live if I'm a comedian? Like, you know, me, I was born in New York City. I was born in Queens, New York. We moved when I was a kid to Florida. And I have lived in Florida all my life, pretty much, besides that. And the Florida comedy scene, thank God, through COVID, was open, you know, because there's no COVID in Florida. And,
and you don't go there.
Everything was open. And so we got to work and got to, but there's a decent scene down there. But I couldn't take it. I couldn't take Florida anymore, the heat, the fucking hurricanes. And I moved to Greenville, South Carolina. People are like,
ouch.
Yeah, like, people, why'd you do that? I'm like, well, it's about where I want to live. You know, this is not about me trying to boost my comedy career. I don't want to move to LA and I don't want to move to New York. And I didn't feel like moving to Texas. Other than that, where do you move?
Ouch. Mike, how about you go first? Where are you from, Mike?
I'm from Detroit.
And how long you been in LA?
8 years.
All right. I'm from New York. I was born in Queens and I moved here 23 years ago. And if you don't mind me going first, I think the things I like about L.A., and Mike could back this up, the weather is no longer an issue.
Yep.
Like, you don't even think about having to wear a jacket or rain. God forbid. We see rain once a year, and it's a snow day.
And then they have a news alert. They have a news alert day. Like, they have all the news channels are talking about how there's rain.
Dude, they'll close up on a puddle, right? They'll zoom in on a puddle and say, there's a puddle forming. Yeah. And also, at least for me, because, again, I lived in New York City. I worked in the subway for 12 years. I can't stand humidity. I can't stand snow. I can't stand cold weather.
Same.
And Mike's from Detroit, so his probably friends and relatives say, don't you miss four seasons?
Nope.
And you know what I say to that? Your four seasons can suck my cock.
Yeah.
We buy marijuana in a store. We buy marijuana in a store. Go ahead.
You know what I say to that? Airplanes. I can fucking fly to your season.
There you go.
And then get the fuck out because I don't want to be there. You guys are stuck in it. You know one thing I love about LA, man? This is the first time, Dougie. Like, I listen. The nature really matters to me. I need nature. I can't live in New York. I love New York, but I can't live there. I used to produce reality TV, so I was out there for 6 months, and I couldn't stand it. Every time I looked out the window, I saw another fucking window. I'm like, fuck this place. But yeah. The one thing I like about LA is there's nature everywhere. And bro, this was the first I never experienced driving to the snow. And then driving away from the snow. That never was a thing in Michigan. The snow just came to you and it was there and it left when it wanted to leave.
Oh, good point. Good point.
I can drive up to Big Bear, go snowboarding, and then drive back down in time to still catch a wave in Venice Beach and then still have enough time to do a show at the Comedy Store.
You could surf and you could snow in the same day. And I know people that have done it and Mike might have done it, but it's only a few hours. And like I said, to me, that's just... I don't know about the sets because Dougie, I don't know. I see you're all the time working somewhere. You know what I mean? You come to LA, guess what? There's a lot of big stars that get on before I do. I know that. And I've experienced it. And, you know, I had my own sitcom and I was seen doing a set at a laundromat a week later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I went to the, this is a quick story. I went to the Laugh Factory. You know, I got a sitcom deal. I'm all that. And I had to hit the buzzer in the back door during the day, and Jamie goes, hello. I said, yeah, hey, dude, my name's John DeRester. I have a sitcom. I'm looking for sets. And he goes, everybody has sitcom. You audition 4 months from now. I call you. So it's tough. So you got to think about that, right? I think, Mike, don't you got to think about sets and traveling and, you know.
I mean, I'm always on the road.
Oh, okay, got it. See, that's I kind of hang around a lot more. I did that for a while.
And I'm trying to figure out what's the best strategy because I'm still new at this strategy. So, like, I've been in LA for 8 years, but 4 of those years have been working in reality TV. The latter 4 years now have been pursuing and pushing and hustling comedy. I've been going on the road to experience and like develop more material, right?
Right.
But the thing is that it's lopsided. I've been on the road way too much. And now it's like I'm realizing I'm a stranger in my own city when it comes to comedy. I'm like, how do I find the balance? So like you stay and hang out here. What's the benefits of that as opposed to also balancing out the road?
Okay. For me, somehow, some way in the, like, the road just kind of dried up. I don't know if it was a health issue and or I don't know. For me, it just, I had a wife and 3 young kids too at the time. So I tried to find some way to stay in LA more because there was 1 or 2 times where I was up for something real big and I was on the road as a comedian. So you got to think about that. When those opportunities arise and you get the phone call, actually, you know what one of them was? Did you guys watch, I never watched it, Entourage?
Yeah.
And I think the last season, Dice Clay was like a voiceover guy.
Right.
I don't know if you guys saw it. Yeah, they gave Dice like a 7, you know, character arc episode.
Right.
And I was up for that. And I missed it.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Because I was, you know, somewhere in Alaska, you know what I mean? For $800. You know what I mean?
It's a weird balance, isn't it? Isn't it? It's a hard
it is.
One.
And I came up with, I have a day job. I guess it's a day or a night job. I'm a woodworker. So I've had a bunch of shows on TV, reality shows about woodworking. I'm the funny woodworker that, you know, A, can get a job out of it on TV, and B, it keeps me from having to fly to Hong Kong for $1,400 cash. You know what I mean? That's a true story.
Yeah.
I had to fly 18 hours and watch I Am Sam with Sean Penn as a retarded guy in a coffee shop for nine hours. That's the only movie over and over.
Wow.
You know, so as much as the road is fun, there's only so many crab fishing shows you could jerk off to.
Yeah.
That's how I sum it up to everybody.
You get a hard on at Red Lobster now.
It's interesting you say that because, I mean, like you said, my goal was to basically hit the road and develop my act, you know, and actually just really fine tune and hone my craft. So that, you know, and from what I understood, if you're in LA, it's hard to get the spots because there's so much competition, number one, and people that are known. And even people that live in LA, they're like, you got to travel all over it. And you have, if you want to make money at it, I mean, not that we do that for money, but if you're going to want to make money in the industry, you got to hit the road. You're not going
to. You have to. It's funny how all three of us have, you know, have experienced it. But I have had shows that paid $5,500 for one night. You know what I mean? I've had a whole weekend that paid $5,500. If that was there every weekend, you know, I might not be at the wood shop as often. But, you know, right. Like it, for me in 2008, I was a road comedian that played a lot of big clubs. And in 2008, you know, there was some kind of crash and every Saturday Night Live cast member that you never heard of started to do stand up. And I got kind of pushed way down a whole level of, you know, just traveling in airports, waiting in line. And all of a sudden airplanes are full. You know, back when I started, I don't want to sound like an old guy. You'd get three seats sometimes. Now, every single airport. And here's another one. You guys could probably back me up. When you have a connecting flight that's 5 minutes away in an airport and they're leaving without you and you're yelling on the phone to not leave and you have to run full speed through an airport you've never been in and they're telling you to get on the tram, but if you run, you can get there in 8 minutes. I don't know. You guys ever have that?
A connecting flight? I travel all the time, bro. The worst is the airport at Atlanta. Oh, my God. Like, yeah. I'll use Skyscanner where you can, like, mix airlines, right? So then I will get off a Spirit flight. And I don't know if you've ever been to the airport in Atlanta. It was built for CrossFitters. Like, it forces you to run. Everybody who goes there is always fucking running.
No. I would never go. I can't. I'm too old. That's man. Funny.
And those were the worst where I would, like get off the Spirit flight and I got to make the Frontier flight. That's in another terminal. Got to take a tram, got to run. It's like ridiculous, bro.
And if you're late, you know, you could miss that Friday night or that Thursday night show. Mm-hmm. And you're in a new place and, you know, you get out and you expect to have been picked up like me in Austin, Texas. And I call the comedy club. There's no answer. There's nobody. It's a Thursday at 1 p.m. I'm in Austin, Texas. No pickup, and you know, they send someone that you know it that doesn't even want to pick you up. They were assigned. Now they're pissed at you, and there's been quite a few where, you know, come Monday morning, there's nobody there. You know what I mean? Some guy in right. Seattle, comedy club owner, owes me $60. He never picked me up Sunday morning. I'm still looking for it.
I think it's going to be a new Olympic sport: terminal and gate running.
There you go. A new reality show. New Olympic.
There you go.
That actually happened to me a few weeks ago. I was laughing because I had seen somebody running to the gate. I think I was in Wichita. And I saw them running to the gate and they made it. You know, and I said, boy, that's my idea of a true Olympian. You know, somebody who's got to make it. And I think I jinxed myself because then I flew to Dallas on the way home from Wichita to Dallas. And of course, like you said, it was delayed. So I literally had 5 minutes when the plane was docking to get from gate A to gate E, whatever the hell it was. And I am not a runner. I'm not a runner anyway. And I got some back issues right now and stuff. So I'm really in bad. So it was funny to watch me huff and puff, try to get to the fucking gate in time.
Versus when you get to the gate and you find out that's delayed. You fucking run your ass all the way over there. I've had that happen. You're like, what? Oh, this is delayed, man. Fuck.
Yeah. Well, that's what actually happened. By the time I got there, I was like, oh, they're like, great, you made it. And there was nobody. And all of a sudden, we're actually going to wait another 10 minutes because there's another flight. And these were the people that are on my plane that lollygagged their ass.
Right.
Meanwhile, I pulled a muscle and caused a lifetime injury trying to get to that fucking gate on time. And meanwhile, these other people are like, oh, they were going to wait for us.
Yeah.
I might have the ultimate one. We all have one. I was in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I did the Sunday night show and they said Hurricane Gustav is on the way in. And if it catches Monday morning, you could be stuck in this town for weeks. You know what I mean? Hurricane Gustav is coming. So I went from the comedy club to a bus terminal and I took a bus from Shreveport, Louisiana to North Hollywood. And I don't know if you guys, you know, we all have our funny, what's the name of that bus line?
That's
Greyhound. But to go all the way across country for 29 hours, and I had $2,500 in my front left pocket cash that I thought was going to be stolen from me every time I fell asleep.
Oh, but now let me ask you a question. Why wouldn't you just take a bus to like Texas and then fly out of there?
That's a good question. I think that because there's been as much success as I've had, there's been some times where I'm really broke, like broke, broke, like you know, and it might have been like, you know, hey, I could take 18 hours and spend $60, or I got to spend $500 on a flight. And I'm pretty sure it was like, you know, let me ride it out. And I know there's a funny story and Jokic at the other end.
That's the thing. I don't know if I could do that. I recently on flying back, I was in Florida last week doing some shows, or this past week. And I caught that. I was flying American and I realized I booked a flight that gave me that like little window from Charlotte to, you know, the connecting flight in Charlotte to South Carolina, Greenville. And I realized I'm not going to, this is stupid. You know, I can't do that. But then I realized, like, you look at some things, I'm like, well, for $20 more, you know, is it worth it taking a flight at 9 a.m. instead of 6 a.m.? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, thank God I'm blessed. I have money and stuff and about 1,000 shares of Amazon stock. So I really don't care.
Nice.
About that fucking.
But you're still cheap. All right. We get it.
I'm still, listen, just because I haven't bought you a beer yet. I thought you're Muslim. I wasn't going to, I don't know. You know, I don't know. Fuck is you can't make them drink or something.
Oh yeah. But I'm a Muslim that eats bacon.
Yeah.
So I think all that is out the window.
I think
what's beer when I'm eating bacon?
Yeah, exactly. I guess the key is it doesn't really matter where you live. I mean, I love the weather in LA because I hate humidity as well. That's why I couldn't stand Florida anymore. And my hair looks wonderful in LA. I mean, you know what I mean? And
that's funny. Can I have that joke?
Yeah. Yes, it's you're there.
Yeah.
And I love it. But of course, what I don't love is the taxation. I personally no hard feelings, but I don't know how much longer California has, gentlemen. Things are getting rough over there. Come on.
Yeah, it is. More people are starting to get robbed around me. Like I live in an area that's really like nice. I'm adjacent to Hancock Park, which has a lot of these beautiful mansion-esque homes. Very nice neighborhood, man. It's one of the safest places. I've been living in the same apartment for the last 8 years, 8.5 years since I've been here. I have a balcony and I leave the sliding door open all the time. Now I got to act like it's Detroit again. I got to lock everything because just a month ago, somebody on the apartment below me had a break-in at 10 o'clock in the fucking morning.
Oh.
And then I went downstairs the other day. We have an underground parking garage, which is nice. And I see some guy putting plastic on his window. And I'm like, did somebody break into your car in the garage? You're like, yeah, they came in and stole my pants.
Oh.
So I had to teach him like Detroit style. I'm like, dude, you can't have anything in the cabin. He was like blown away. He's like, but he stole my pants. I go, dude, you're dealing with someone who's a meth head. When he sees pants, he's wondering how much money is in those pockets.
Yeah.
So that's like, it's crazy. Like now I have to think like that. And
my change bowl just got stolen and it had, I'm like super into my change bowl.
What's a change bowl?
In the car, just quarters and dimes and nickels, a bowl of change.
Yeah.
It had to have a good 50 or 60 bucks in it.
Oh no.
But I never locked my pickup truck because I hate trying to get back in it. And sure enough, my change bowl got stolen the other day. Made me
for
sad.
Sure, man.
Yeah, well, made me really sad.
It should be easy to find it. Some guy walking around with his pants falling down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
The thing is that like I'm high and I forgot what I was going to say.
The pants. The cabin. Pants.
Leaving things out. In the
Hancock Park.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so when it comes to like these petty crimes, man. And that's what they are. Like, it's crazy. Like, I have to look at this place like it's Detroit again, because Detroit is one of those places where someone will break into your house. There's jewelry, there's jewelry, there's TVs to steal, but instead they take the $13 out of your daughter's piggy bank.
Yeah.
Ouch. It's just somebody who has no connections to be able to flip jewelry into money. That's somebody who's a crackhead and only wants $13 to add to the already $50 that he got from that change bowl.
These criminals are not Mensa members.
If you don't mind, you know what was stolen too? I had a box in the back seat that had, like, since I'm a woodworker, it had razor blades and, like, you know, little tools, the tiniest screwdrivers. And in it was a roll of 35 millimeter film that we just found in this house that I live in, t- tucked away in the weirdest place, and it had to be 15 or 20 years old. And I had it in the car to get developed, and every day I just kept saying, "That tomorrow, tomorrow," and that box got stolen. So I'll never know what's on that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That even made me sadder. Not to bring us all down.
That's what I'm saying. They probably grabbed the bus and they thought there's got to be some money in there. It probably looked like maybe something valuable. They try to grab it real quick.
Just it looked like it had a, it just looked like it had a value. And then you know, they don't care about my, you know, pictures. It could have been anything. It could have been a road gig. It could have been Hong Kong, Alaska. Like I said,
exactly.
Yeah.
I'd always be nervous if somebody found an old roll of film for my camera.
Yeah, you go.
You know, I mean, I've been with my wife a quarter of a century almost, and I'd hate to have something like that pop up out of the blue.
And then that's it.
And by the way, sorry, where would you go to get film developed nowadays?
People, there is a place in the studio. No, there's a place right next to Joe. I don't know if Mike knows Joe Peeps. Joe Peeps in Valley Village is the big, you know, the real pizza from New York, quote unquote. And right next to Joe Peeps is a place that says in big letters, "We still develop 35 millimeter. And it's just a weird parking, and a hundred times I drove past it. Now, like I said, you know, we'll never know.
Yeah, so,
but that's okay. What are you, you know, there's worse things in life.
But this place is getting crazy right now, Dougie. So, like, I don't know where you should move, man. L.A. used to be beautiful, but now it's just Detroit with palm trees. I mean, think about it, man. Like right now, four comics that we know, or three of them, have passed away from just doing cocaine.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that. Rip Fuquan?
Fuquan.
Johnson. Fuquan Johnson.
Fuquan. Fu. He always went by Fu.
Fu?
Yeah.
I mean, my days of cocaine are long gone. And now they're lacing that shit with fentanyl. And
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it was laced
with fentanyl. That's what got him.
Yeah, it was cocaine laced with fentanyl. Kay Quigley, another comedian, she was. I think she's doing better. Another friend told me she's doing all right.
She's the one that survived.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
You know, and that's the one thing I worry about, too, is like one thing, you live there and you have it all around you. Like, you want to be there because opportunities, like, because I want to get into acting. Like, when I moved to Greenville, South Carolina, we're basically like a little over an hour away from Atlanta where there's a big movie scene. So I thought, okay, you know, at least I'm close to go do auditions and stuff like that to keep running that. But then the agents in Atlanta are like, "Well, if you don't live here, we don't want to have anything to do with you." You know what I mean?
No.
So I'm like, "Oh, so you got to get an agent in North Carolina, which is a trick, or you know, and they'll help you with some gigs in Atlanta as well." But you know, but I just got to the point. I'm like, "Look, I just want to be when I live somewhere. I want to like where I live. You know, I don't want to live somewhere like I love New York. Like you said, I don't want to live in New York. You know what I mean? I can go to New York for a week or two and I love it. Oh, everything's so close. The city's great. And then I got to get the fuck out of there because it's too close.
You could drown in your basement.
What a fucking horrible story, huh?
There's dozens of them. I mean, let me repeat that. You drowned in your basement.
Who's drowning in your basement?
Just the other day, dude, about 40 people died in New York and New Jersey with that hurricane.
Yeah.
There was the most, New York got the most rain in one day than it has in 500 years.
We're getting, I have rental properties in Michigan, man. And like in Detroit, around Detroit and Dearborn, that area, man, the sewage is backing up and it's not being able to keep up with the amount of rain that's coming down. So sewage has been like backing up in people's basements, my mom's basement.
No.
It happened in 2014. And then the city like spent millions of dollars like opening up the sewer systems, making them bigger. And then we got this other rain not too long ago, and then the shit's still fucking backed up.
Yeah, it is shit.
That's what I'm asking.
With that kind of stuff, with that type of, those type of situations and issues, right? I don't want to deal with that. You know what I mean? Like, is it possible to live somewhere? Because listen, if you want to make it big, I mean, you can't get a TV credit anymore. Like you mentioned, if you had a sitcom, you couldn't even get time on a stage. You know, it's gotten to the day and age. You can have a late night TV spot and still be struggling to get time. You know, but to somebody who's got a YouTube video with a million fucking hits, you know, can work headline any club they want in the country.
Right.
So
yeah.
You know, so that really adds to that. Like, well, where do I want to live? Where I want to live? You know, and I got to tell you, here it's beautiful. I mean, the people are great. It's laid back. The weather, like, for example, we were at our neighbor's house sitting on the driveway yesterday, just chatting and shit, you know, and it's September, but it was like in the 60s last night out here.
Where do you live again?
Greenville, South Carolina, right in the upstate part of South Carolina, about 30, 40 minutes south of Asheville.
Oh.
I think Greenville, is it Greenville or is it Greensboro in South Carolina that we used to go to party? There's a college town there, isn't it?
Well, Greenville has Furman University, and but there's Clemson down. It's not too far away, Anderson area. But Greensboro has a college. Greensboro
is the one that I used to. That's South Carolina, right?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Is it North?
I think there's also a Greensboro, South Carolina.
I have a friend that's
North Carolina. Yeah.
My best friend from high school moved to Charlotte. He's a mailman in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I speak to him daily. He's very funny. He wants to be a comedian. And the weather, every single day, it's humid. It's raining. It's raining. He's a mailman. He's out in a rain that Mike and I have never seen in L.A. And he's doing it for 10 hours on a Tuesday and 10 hours on a Wednesday and 10 hours on a Thursday. And then Sunday it's 99 with 100% humidity. Like I don't see how you could deal with your day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, that's why when we drove through Charlotte, which has a really good comedy scene, by the way.
Right.
But it's not, that's why we like this area, because we're closer to the mountains, so we don't have that same humidity. So it's a nice place. All right. So we also mentioned, by the way, Fu and those who died. So rest in peace to those comedians, and that we wish Kate Quigley a speedy recovery. But also, it was interesting last week, fellow comedian Joe Rogan caught COVID. I don't know if you guys are Joe Rogan fans or not. I like Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I do.
I love him. I love Ultimate Fighter. The Ultimate Fighter. Him and I are martial artists. And I just think it's funny how people, even fellow comics. I won't mention the guy's name, but there's a comic out of Atlanta that wished death upon Joe Rogan. This is simply because of an ideological difference of opinion, you know. And I've been seeing that, like, I even today I got into it with somebody. Kamala Harris posted something, and I made my own little quip, my own little post against it, and I had these people like going after me and attacking me. I said, hey man, can you just debate the issue without trying to attack me, somebody you don't even know? I mean, you don't even know if I could possibly call in a favor and have you know your lights turned out why would somebody go so crazy just fighting over their ideology? But I guess the thing that was weird was he caught COVID, and then he had mentioned that he had taken ivermectin. Ivermectin, which is a drug they use for horses to get rid of parasites and shit. But it's also, as a human, there's an FDA approved drug for humans.
Right.
So people are saying, oh, he's taking horse pills and shit, you know. Meanwhile, the guy was sick and he got better within a week.
Not even. I think it was like 3 days.
Yeah. Right. He had it really bad, and supposedly, and then he got better. You know, he took other things. What else was in the
vitamin drips,
disease pack, antibiotics, antibiotics, etc. So, you know, for those who wished him dead, you know, because they didn't like him, calling him stupid and stuff like that. I mean, you're going to call a guy who made a career, who became uncancelable. You know, here's a guy who's non-cancelable. You can't cancel Joe Rogan. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm so respectful of somebody who could say whatever the fuck he wants to say without worrying about some liberal.
He's not really saying anything that's terrible. Yeah. I listen to the Joe Rogan podcast all the time because he has a wide array of guests, and I'm the type of person, I want to be exposed to all kinds of viewpoints. I don't want to live in an echo chamber. I don't want to fucking, you know, just be like only listening to like Rachel Maddow or any type of news source that leans hard anyway. If I do listen to that, I have to triangulate my opinion by listening to the antithesis of that and then trying to find the middle, you know?
I do the same thing. Same thing. I go from Fox to CNN. Same thing.
And then the blogs and then online and whatever. But right now, man, I've never seen more than ever liberals being so dumb. And this is coming from a liberal, you know what I mean? Like now I don't even know if I can call myself a liberal anymore, because I have liberal values, but at the same time, the fringes of the left right now are just moving the goalpost to the, and they keep moving it more ridiculous and saying, this is liberalism. This is liberalism. And then when you start preaching classic liberalism, they're like, and I'm like, you guys are pushing the goalpost to an area of like ridiculous liberalism. But then yet at the same time, you support Biden, who's practically a Republican.
Well, it maybe
practically a Republican.
Maybe the old Biden was.
Warhawk. I mean,
now he's just a Muppet. While we're at it,
he is a Muppet.
Well, let me ask you this: as a former Marine and somebody who served this country, John, did you serve in the
force? I was a New York City transit cop for 9 years, and I was a New York City NYPD for 3 years. No military.
So you served the community and risked.
Oh, without a doubt, two different police departments, two different police academies.
Right. So let me ask you this: as it comes to Afghanistan, like one of the things I got in this debate with this guy today, the guy asked me a question. Would you blame Donald Trump for the 400,000 people who died of COVID? I don't blame him. I blame China. That's who I blame for the fucking COVID. Let's get something straight. Number one. But I said, if you're going to blame Trump for the 400,000 deaths, you must be blaming Biden for the 200,000 plus deaths.
Exactly.
That have already occurred since January. And he says, no, right. it's not 200 some thousand. It's only 150. I go, well, see, if you're going to troll my fucking comments, if you're going to troll my comments and test my how smart I am and your number. And it was funny because I just pulled a quick number. I said it's 200,000. But that was from a report in April. So there's over.
And he's 1,000. Only been president for 9 months.
With a vaccine. With ample supplies of PPE and all the other shit, right. And he's already at 50%, right?
But here's the thing. Honestly, Dougie, one thing I cannot stand, and I swear, I don't know how to get this through to Americans, man. I'm like sick and tired of all of us putting our focus into one person. That's all we do. Mm. That's the biggest trick that the elite have is that they put someone up there that represents everything that's going on. And then when they run the game against us, we don't get mad at the people that are actually playing the game. We get mad at the guy that they put up there to represent all that is fucked up.
Yeah.
And all it's doing is just getting us to debate things at the most lowest gutter level. Because even you're doing it right now to like now, you know, you're already being like, well, look how the liberals are acting right now and Trump. And it's just like once we start polarizing in that, like trying to like defend Trump or even try to like think that you're going to blame everything that happens on Trump or Biden or Clinton or whatever. It's really shitty where I just sit back and just see people fighting over smoke screens. Well, it's a smokescreen. Politicians are a smokescreen. The real shit is happening, and we can't even put our finger on it because they keep fucking pulling out the smokescreen.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you because I'm more of a pragmatist. I don't believe in blame. Blame's left for later. I believe in resolve, right? I don't give a shit. Like, I don't blame Trump for that. We're in the middle of a crisis. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And in times of crisis, you cannot really judge those in charge. They're doing what they fucking can, right?
Well, you can. You should judge. You should pay attention.
Well, right. You should make sure people aren't just completely fucking the poop.
But you should do it without any political leanings. You should be able to look at the truth, even right. if it's the guy that you voted in there. But right. nobody's doing that. When Trump was in office, whenever he did some fucked up shit, I have military friends. You know, and they're hardcore conservative. And then I have theater, happy-go-lucky, yay, improv friends. And they're like hardcore liberal. And when I sit there and talk to my conservative friends,
of Popeye.
When I talk to my conservative friends during Trump's reign, it was you could not point out anything that was negative to Trump. They would right away do what everyone else does. They gaslight you by going, oh, yeah, well, look what Clinton did. Oh, yeah, well, look at Obama. And that's exactly what everyone's doing right now. If you look at the way Americans engage with politics in this country, it's the most toxic of relationships. These are people, the way we act with each other when it comes to politics, we would all break up with each other. Like, yeah. I can't have you in my life right now. It's just toxic.
And that's what's happened. I mean, you know, let's face it, you know, because I mean, people bring up Trump now with Biden. Listen, Afghanistan, you're in the military. You know this. You know, whatever military plans or strategy are done, they're fluid. you know, you can't say whatever data and stats and information we had back in January or November of last year has no relevance to the information we have today.
In terms of what? What do you compare?
In other words, when we pulled this whole let me start by this. Do you think that the pull out of Afghanistan was done well? I mean,
no.
It was a complete fuck up. I mean,
no.
And if you're going to blame the previous administration,
they came out of there as fast as we should have came with the decision not to go in there.
Yeah.
We should have never went in there in the first place.
Well, that or at least try to find the guy, find the people, and then do what we need to do and then get the fuck out. I agree as a country. We don't need to be policing and telling everybody else how to live.
Yeah, you know but let me ask you this. Do you think wars are meant to be won?
It's a big fuck up, right? I mean, it's like...
let me ask you. Do you think we get into wars with the intention of winning them?
But that's the
truth. I thought so, but I see that you're going to explain probably not. But I that's how gullible I am. I would think, you know, hey, yeah,
I mean, we want to win. You guys know about the military industry, right?
Right.
Right. Well, they make... I mean, it's the biggest industry, and it's the biggest industry that lines the pockets of most of the politicians that make sure that the war keeps going. The war was never meant to be won. It's just a cash cow. We went there. We prolonged it as long as we possibly could so that we could constantly generate more tax dollars for the military industry and keep increasing that budget. Wars are never meant to be won. They're meant to be sustained.
Well, the problem is there's discourse around the world. And it's one thing to have your we got out of ways. Like obviously the Iraq war was a big waste of time. We should have left Saddam Hussein in power, you know, to run that country, because that's the way it should have been. To Afghanistan.
He was the only one that knew how to wrestle all those factions that hated each other.
Yeah.
I mean, he did it in the worst way. But I mean, look at the environment he's in.
Yeah. I mean, there was no reason for us to go in there. And you know, when you mentioned, is a war winnable? Well, no, because no matter, there's no way to define the win.
Especially when you don't define it.
You can't define it because
we got a war on terror. Well, what the fuck is that? I find a lot of things terrifying. Like, I don't know, dropping bombs on my people in Yemen. That's terrifying. Is that not terror? I'm not sure.
We need to worry about, like, especially in California, the war on water. You guys don't have any water left.
Yikes.
You know what I mean? So I think people in California need to be worried about drought before they're worried about terrorism.
Bro, we have so much money to spend here, man.
Yeah, I agree. So I just think that, you know, it's just funny how, and you're right, people, to me, it's not like when that person said whose fault or who people died. To me, it was China's fault. I mean, I don't know about you. I personally believe that the virus was released. I don't think it was a fucking bat. I don't think
who knows if it was released or not, but we know it's from China, and we just got to stop like pretending that it's not
the China virus.
Anybody who does not understand that China is actually looking for global dominance now has got their head up their ass.
Can I make an argument for China virus?
Yes.
I didn't like that term coming from President Trump at the time. I thought it was racist. Now, people will argue semantics and be like, well, China's a nation. That's a nationality. It's not a race. It's a nation comprised of many different races. Like, I get it. Okay. But that we're talking about in the ecosystem of the mind of the American in this country. If you're the leader of a country, okay, and a significant portion of the people that you preside over, that you're supposed to protect, come from the country of China and are now citizens over here, it's important that you make sure that you do not say anything inflammatory.
Yeah, but again, why do the people leave China, Mike? I mean, why do people leave Cuba? Why do people leave?
I'm not saying that. That's not the point. The point is what I'm saying is that's not the point. The point that I'm saying is that as a leader of this country, you put those people at risk at the hands of really dumb people that can't discern the difference between Chinese, Japanese, and all that. You know, because it's just, and when people said, "Oh, that's not racist," he's just calling it what it is. It's a virus that came from China. I'm like, dude, you're a leader of this country. Chinese people, that really scared the hell out of them, because now they were like, well, now everyone's going to start blaming me for it.
Listen, my wife's Asian. So when the fucking COVID came out, when I'd be somewhere with my wife and she sneezed, she'd clear a room. You know what I mean? So
I'd knock her out. I'm like, what are you doing in public?
You have a problem there, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. I'm from the Middle East. That's what we do. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Put a fucking suicide vest on her. You're right. I mean, there's certain things, but here's the thing. Here's the problem I think we have in society. Such fucking thin-skinned we've become. You know, if a word or a phrase fucking affects us, go fuck yourself.
Triggered.
You know what I mean? And a meteorite can hit this globe, you know what I mean? And end it all for all of us. And you're worried about what I say. You know, if I had a kid, I don't have any children, but if I had a kid, I'd have to say, listen, son, I know you want to say things, but you have to realize the millions of people that may hear you may get offended. So you have to consider what you should say in front of those millions of different people.
Exactly, man. We need to, it's like we almost, like they say, stop bullying. I'm like, dude, we need them. We need the bullies to inform our good children to know how to navigate that, because bullies just don't end after high school. You know, it's like we're trying to nerf everything. And then this is what's happened. Now we have a generation of participation trophy people.
They're pussies. And we said this on our last show, Steve McGrew and Tim Gaither, very Republican. And, you know, they say we need to bring back bullying. You know, a kid needs to be punched in the face if he does something wrong. You know, a kid, you know, people don't.
And then that person may think twice to like say, hey, I wish death on Joe Rogan because he didn't take the vaccine.
They're millennial maggots. That's what I call them. Millennial maggots.
I mean, listen, not all millennials are like that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of millennials that are actually pushing back against this. You know, they're just like, this is like really stupid. But then you just have the ones that are the most vocal are the idiots. They're the ones that are the most vocal. Right. Whole Joe Rogan thing. I'm going to tell you what, though, just to go back on that, like, the wishing death on him is absolutely stupid. But at the same time, one thing that I think is really funny about Joe is that here he is in his podcast. I listen to his podcast a lot. He advocates, hey, man, if you're healthy and you take care of yourself, you probably don't even need the vaccine. He didn't want to take the vaccine because he takes care of himself and whatever. Right. OK, so if you got COVID and you really believe that health and exercise and all that stuff was going to help, then why in the fuck did you nuke your body right as soon as you found out that you had it? Why did you put like a $3,000 worth of medical treatment into your body over 3 days, maybe even more? When you could have just took the vaccine. Because to him, he was like, well, don't take the vaccine. You don't have to take the vaccine. A lot of people just fight it on their own. Okay. And then here he is, he gets it and he throws everything at it. And I'm just like, dude, you just basically went against like what you were saying. Like, not everyone can like afford all those vitamin drips and ivermectin and the doctor that'll prescribe it to you.
That's true. But here's the other thing I'd say. Because he is in the health he's in, he may have had the ability to fight it off that much quicker. So one is before, like, I don't have.
I mean, I got it and I just let it happen.
I haven't taken the vaccine because I had COVID. So somebody asked me, well, do you believe in those conspiracy theories? I said, no, I don't necessarily believe in any of the conspiracy theories. I'm listening to my doctor who says you had COVID. Don't worry about it now. I don't particularly listen. You got people dying. Look at our Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar De La Hoya is in the hospital now. He had the vaccine and he's in the hospital with COVID right now. So why would I want to take a vaccine that, the FDA just approved Pfizer, but why would I want to take a vaccine that, you know, for a virus that has a 99.9% fucking survival rate? You know what I mean? With potential, it's like those medications that the old joke, like, take this medication for depression, but this medication may cause you to think suicidal thoughts, anal leakage, and all that shit. I'd rather just be fucking depressed, dude. You know what I mean?
That's just funny.
So when these people say, these vaccinations, the thing I'm against is, like, if you can't work for this company if you don't get vaccinated. That to me is a bit of a fucking problem.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I have the two shots of Moderna, and I got them early because I'm compromised. I'm from Long Island, so I'm compromised. I have the brain the size of a walnut, like a dinosaur.
Like an alligator.
And then I sniffed, hot human piss for 12 years in the subway, and my brain turned into a pistachio nut. You know, the one that's sealed that you can't open? That's what my brain is like. But I got both shots, and I don't know. I'm glad I got them. I don't want to get COVID. I have a friend that had a hose down his throat for 44 days. I don't want that.
Yeah. I agree with both. Honestly, I think that if you're healthy and you don't feel like you need it, you should have the freedom to not get it and not, whatever. There's data out there that says that, you know, and whether you believe the data or not, the liberals believe in the data. They believe the data that says that take the vaccine, because if you do it, it will reduce your chances of being hospitalized. if you get COVID. So the idea is that if you get vaccinated, then you really shouldn't be worried about anybody else who's not vaccinated.
Man, okay. Well, listen, I guess you're right. It's up to what we want to do. Every individual should be able to do what they want and not be cursed or ridiculed by that choice, right?
Exactly.
I mean, church. I'm not going to tell somebody, you got the vaccine, what are you, a fucking nut? And I don't expect anybody to tell me I'm crazy for not getting the vaccine. And you're right. You're right. You said it. Like, if you got the vaccine, you're protected. So you shouldn't worry about me getting the vaccine.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I mean, think about that. I mean, that's just the way it is.
There's too much of this, like, common good mindset that comes from the left. That's a little too far. I believe in common good. I believe in that. But then sometimes it's just like, it's to a point where a lot of these people feel righteous. They feel like they're better than you. They feel like they know better than you. Yet at the same time, when I tell them, why don't we get up at fucking 8 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym and try to like burn off some of that fat that happens to be one of the main causes of death for people from COVID is being fat. They get mad at you and say that you're shaming them. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know where to go with this shit, man.
Yeah.
I'm becoming more libertarian as we speak.
Yeah, I think from this whole experience, like we said, the fighting back and forth, I think more and more people are going to just blend, you know, become a little more or less on the edge. And some people are, I think that's happening to both sides. The people all the way on the outside and on the fringes, you know, they're realizing the ridiculousness of that stance.
I don't think they are, man.
Well,
I lost respect for a lot of people that I thought knew better.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, guys. Well, you know what? It's time for the news is a joke. All right. So let's look at our first story. Michigan parents must pay son $30,441 for getting rid of his porn collection.
Mm. That's a lot.
Did you ever have a porn collection?
No. I mean, maybe one or two magazines and then jump to the internet. I don't, you know, is this guy, he's got to be an introvert. Is he a stand-up comedian, the guy?
Yeah, he must be.
He's got to live at home.
He should just get therapy.
He headlines the open mics.
Yeah, he's an open mic headliner.
Open mic that ends at 2 a.m.
Yeah, he's on a show flyer with 15 opening acts in him. I love seeing that shit, right? You see a person post a show and it's like there's 15 fucking people on there and featuring and headlining. You're like, really?
Really?
That's amazing. Hey, with that, let me ask you guys this question. When you're headlining a show, how long do you think a headliner should wait before they actually go up?
What?
Oh, I think I would say about 15 minutes on an opener, a half hour in the middle, about 45 for a brisk, fun show. I just did a Hell's Angels club in their club, Hell's Angels, and I went up ninth, and they were done. I give the audience credit. They had seen enough comedians. They were done. They saw eight, and then I came up and as the headliner, and I had the challenge of just bringing the whole club back together, you know, because they were done.
Which is
they
just hard.
They saw eight comedians all talk about their cats, all talk about dating. And, you know, there was no briskness to it. Brisk. You need to be brisk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think you think 15 minutes show start 15 minutes. The headliner should already be up.
No, I said 15 for one and 30 for the next. And then about 45 minutes, I think.
Well, what do you mean for the next?
No, for the middle act. In other words, if there's an opener.
Oh, 15, right.
15, 30, and then the headliner gets on at about 45 minutes.
Yeah, so I think 15, minutes, 20.
Yeah, 45 minutes into the show, 35 minutes into the show, but not an hour into a show.
No.
I did that hour and a half. They wanted a two-hour show, and I got on at like an hour and a half, and I was supposed to do like another hour, and the audience was completely done. Oh, it was one of the worst sets I ever had because the middle guy was a monster. And I came up and I was too cute by a half. I said, is there a lazy eye convention in town? You know, I was just making fun of the audience. And boy, I had to do an hour after insulting them.
Yeah. Oh.
I learned a lesson that night, boy.
Oh, every night's a lesson. All right. Well, like this guy, a lesson, $30,000 of porn that his parents threw away. My parents threw away my Marvel comics, part of my Marvel comic collection and my baseball card collection. Now I know this. I wish I could have sued them. You know,
not to this day, my dad talks about, my dad's 80 years old, talks about when he came back from the Navy, his comic book collection was thrown out by his mother. And he said that had he saved it, it would have been worth tens of thousands of dollars, and it was thrown out. Yeah, he still talks about it to this day, and he's 80 years old.
To me, I'm just like blown away. Like you can, that $30,000 for a porn collection, like how big is this collection, man? Like, did they have to take like dump a storage container into the sea or some shit? Like, how much porn is $30,000, Dougie? You're the resident expert, aren't you?
Not really. I mean, like I said, I haven't had, I think it's been years, but I used to have a few DVDs, you know, maybe a magazine.
Yes, I've had the VHSs.
Yeah, 15 years ago or something like that. But, yeah. But it's like John said, nowadays I got the iPad. My iPad is my porn collection.
Yeah, like buying porn right now doesn't make sense, man.
Yeah. I mean, why would anybody buy porn? Remember the days you'd go to a hotel and you'd fucking buy, you get a video on, you pay for $10 for a video?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's like they still, I went to a hotel not too long ago. They had that. I'm like, why the fuck would anybody pay?
Or back in the day when you were a kid, you would go through the old cable channels.
Yeah.
And then you could get to the porn thing, but they scrambled the video. But then I would jerk off to the moaning.
Oh.
You could hear it.
But hold on. How about this? I'm getting at the age now where if I'm in the bathroom and the phone is on something creepy, I got to worry about if I die of a heart attack, that's the last thing someone sees.
Yeah.
Midget gay porn. You know what I mean?
And you didn't mean to hit that. It was an accident. And then all of a sudden, there you are, dead.
Yeah. Watching gangbang porn.
Midget gangbang porn.
Yeah, that's the best.
But to add insult to injury, man, this guy's, he wins, and then his parents also had to pay him like $14,000 in court fees. So, like, that's, paid for his lawyers.
That is a good attorney right there when you make sure that you win the cost of it. Well, that's one thing anybody should learn at this. This attorney should be marketing, should be advertising this case.
For real.
All right. Our next story is a woman strolls through the airport wearing just a bikini, and God, I'm hoping she's sitting next to me.
She won't be.
She was good looking. I saw it.
She, yeah, my luck. She'll walk by and the big fat guy will sit in the middle.
Yep. Yeah.
Listen, I think if you weigh over 230 pounds, you should never
sit
in the middle. You should, yeah, you should never
two
sit in the middle.
Two chairs is funny.
Just too much.
You have to get,
I was up to 260 at one point in my life. That was not fun.
Wow.
Yeah, 250 over here, man. I'm only 5'8". So I was pretty fat myself.
Yeah.
What are you down to now?
I'm at like 190.
Oh, I'm about 195.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm at 270. So.
Whoa, you win.
Yeah, I'm not getting any middle seat, I'll tell you that.
Now you're the guy when you're waddling down the aisle, everyone's like, oh, shit.
Waddling.
Here he comes.
I mean, rolling.
And I can see it in their eyes as I'm walking down
the aisle. Yeah, that's funny.
And when I see somebody get nervous, I'll look at them like, I think that's my seat. And you can watch it, oh, fuck no. Well, listen, who gives
at least she's wearing a mask.
Yeah, she did. She had a mask, right? She had a mask. And, did she have a face shield? Yeah.
And no, she just had a mask, but then it's really funny. Like her bikini, because she's wearing a mask, it looks like she's wearing three masks. She's like wearing a mask for her face, her chest and her cooter.
She couldn't tell. She couldn't tell which one to wear. So she,
yeah,
wore them all. I'm surprised she got through the checkpoint. I would have definitely frisked her. If I was in TSA, I'm like, ma'am, you have to come over here.
You know what, though, man? If the TSA agent was a black woman, she would scold her for not having an ass. That girl got no ass, man. I'm watching the video right now. She got
negative. Got a chicken ass?
It's negative, but it's like concave. It's not even there. It's like dark energy.
That's what I have. I have the ass of a Korean woman.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, it's a closing bit of my act. If I stuff my pants up my ass crack, it looks like I'm getting a blowjob from Superman.
Oh, I've seen your bit, bro. That's fine. I remember that now.
Oh, no shit. That. Look at that.
That's a really funny bit, bro.
It looks like my anus is hungry for denim.
That was really funny. Like getting a blowjob from Superman. I remember that bit, man. I remember.
Oh, look at that. See that?
I remember you. I remember watching you do that bit, and it's like one of those bits where I'm like, "Man, I need to do more act outs."
Yeah, it's just funny the way it developed. It just I used to turn around and do a joke about being rammed in the subway, you know, up against the window, so my back was to the audience. And one day I got off stage in the cheesiest little gig in Queens, and my brother's girlfriend goes, "Dude, you're whenever you turn your back in the audience, your pants go up your ass crack and it gives you what's called worry ass. So that was the first thing. I would turn around and say, look, I got worry ass. Looks like my ass is worried. And then it just developed. Like one night I wore the perfect jeans. And now watch this, guys. I'm doing this stand-up 29 years. I have to wear the right jeans. So when I turn around, there's instantly no ass. You know what I mean? I got to wear these jeans I just puff the back and there's nothing there. And everyone thinks it's a magic trick. And then when I hike the seam into my ass crack, and now it's all, it looks just like my anus is hungry for denim and it's sucking it up through my body.
But the Superman giving you a blowjob, that was man.
Yeah.
I love
it. And even that was from my brother. One night I came off stage and my brother just goes, it looks like you're getting a blowjob from Superman. And boom, it was put right in.
Yeah, funny when you don't remember the comic, but then you remember the bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's funny.
You know,
look at that. I've been recognized.
Well, there's nothing against you, man. I'm just high all the time, so it's really
no. I think it's fantastic. Sometimes I was going to send a headshot last night to Dougie that was just a close up of my ass suckled up and in.
That's great.
That reminds me of an old joke. I said back in college, I got so high the first time I got high, really high. I ate a whole box of Frosted Flakes with no milk. And I woke up the next morning like I gave the Sandman head. A little dry. But your joke is much better. All right, our next story. A man tried to smuggle $34,000 worth of cocaine under his toupee.
Yeah, he was trying to get money to pay for that porn collection.
Yeah. It was
there you go.
I mean, it's funny. If you look at it, it's the worst. You know, it was funny. Actually, I got they searched my bag this time because my wife, we had delivered to my mother-in-law's house this like coconut type food supplement instead of sugar or creamer. Instead of creamer for coffee, my wife orders this stuff. It's like coconut based. And so it's a big bag. So I put it in my luggage. They're going to pull this shit out. And of course, a lady was like, all right, we're going to have to search this bag. Is this your bag? I'm like, yeah. And I'm as a comic, I said, I'm going to fucking have fun here. So she was opening my bag. I'm like, oh, no. She kept looking at me. I'm like, oh, no. She kept looking at me. And she opened up and she's like, and she did the swab. I said, yeah, it's fucking creamer, lady.
It's really funny, man. It's so nice that you, like, being this fucking white-looking dude can just, like, really fuck with the TSA agent. And I'm rolling through there with fucking ISIS face, dude. I got to be on my best behavior, and I got to code switch to this white voice.
I know. Exactly. I can walk through with a fucking Sidewinder missile on my shoulder and you go in before me. Say, search that fucker.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, listen, I don't know how this guy thought he can get away with it. Anybody listening to the show or watching the show, you gotta really, I mean, see the picture. I mean, fucking, oops, hold on. You gotta see this guy because.
The toupee, literally, if you look at him with the toupee, He looks like how Fred Flintstone looked when he gets hit over the head and then the bump comes up and then it pushes his hair up, you know? Remember that?
That looks like my hair. Wait a minute.
This guy's a fucking idiot.
Shit is on crooked.
He looks like he left his hair dryer on fucking for 2 hours.
Dude, right before the show, 1980 called and they asked for their hair back.
For real. Look, to me, it's like, why would you put it on your head under a toupee, you dumb fat fuck? You can tell he's fat. You could have at least put it on your belly. If you put it on your belly.
Under your fupa.
Under the fupa, bro. Like, lift up the fupa.
Yeah, you go.
And that's it.
Back in the day, like, we talked about my buddy Lenny Travis. Lenny would tell me that when he wanted a hired weed, he would take it. He would take tape and tape it to underneath his balls.
Nice.
Between the taint, you know, and your balls. And he would just tape it there. I mean, getting the tape off is a bitch, of course.
That's not going to work anymore.
Yeah. All right, guys, our last story, very funny story. Man cuts off penis and throws it out car window during a police chase.
This is not funny. Not funny at all.
Yeah. The man who cut off his own penis threw it out a car window during a police chase, claimed the voices on the radio told him the actions would save the world.
You need to stop listening to Howard Stern, man. That's the problem.
I mean, listen, I don't care what voice I'm hearing. If you know, I could be as high as fuck. I'm like, okay, yeah, really? I got to do that? I got to what? Cut off my penis. Fuck you, voice.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't care what voice I hear. If a fucking burning bush told me to do that and I was on Mount Sinai, I'd be like,
yeah,
I don't think God. I think we got a problem with that. You know what I mean?
I mean, think it's too crazy that like Abraham was instructed to decapitate his son on top of a mountain. That was the one story that got me to be like, all right, man, I don't think I believe in this Islam shit anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like the cutting your dick off, I'm like, all right, dude, you're right.
What about this? What about, because I did 12 years in Coney Island as a cop. What if you get the call that you got to find it? I mean, that's one thing you're definitely going to kick out of anyone's view and say, you know, 90X Central, we didn't find it.
Yeah.
Can you guys help me find my dick?
You know what I'm saying? God. You're going to kick that to the – I was a transit cop. That you're going to kick that into the roadbed and go to your next station.
Yeah. the cop who was in hot pursuit was driving after him all of a sudden. What the fuck is that on his windshield?
Did you see the size of the dick on that fly?
That must
come
be
on. That's that the one joke I wrote for this whole show.
He is – you know what? He is driving a Honda Accord, and you got to be a dickless – prick to be driving a fucking Honda Accord. I guess he was just trying to be correct.
He should have ate it. You know, you want to be bold, eat it. Suck it down like a clam on a half shell.
You also got to hand it to him, man. His driving skills must be on point, bro.
Yeah.
They couldn't catch up to him, and he was sawing his dick off at the same time. That's a lot of control, man.
Yeah, he kept traveling westbound into Wilson County.
I want to know this picture here is pre or post dick cut.
It looks like a mugshot, though.
So what the fuck, I mean, bro? How do you bring him in for? So if you cut your dick off, don't you need to go to the hospital?
I mean, like you said, I mean, look at that. Does that look like somebody just lost his dick?
It looks like he's also got a mask on, right?
Yeah, it looks
around
like
his neck.
It looks like he shoved his dick under his hair. He's trying to get in with cocaine and dick.
Oh my God, this is. I honestly can't even wrap my mind around this, bro.
All I know is I don't feel bad for this person. Darwin's going great. That guy should not reproduce anyway.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes. And with that, fellas, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for
being on the show.
A lot of fun. I'll be back anytime.
Absolutely, guys. We thank you so much. By the way, guys, I'm going to be out on the road for a couple weeks, so we won't have a show probably for a couple weeks unless I do something special somehow. So stay tuned. I'll be putting some best of episodes out for you guys to watch on our fan page on Wake on Facebook. So be sure to like us, by the way. If you're watching this, like our fan page. We appreciate it. Subscribe to us on Podbean and our YouTube channel at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Can I plug something?
Yes, please.
Follow me at Mike from Detroit on everything. Instagram, Twitter, YouPorn, everything. I'm Mike from Detroit on pretty much everything. TikTok. And follow my podcast, Public Yemeni #1. I go live every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Pacific. And also, sometimes I also have a guest on that week. So sometimes I'll go on twice a week. So give my podcast a follow and follow me online.
There you go. All right.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, it's nice to meet you finally. And if you ever need any wooden furniture, custom made, reclaimed wood, I'm only a couple miles away. And I'm at John DeResta on Instagram. Basically, that's my one thing. So, you know, I'm available as a comedian or a woodworker. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I wish I could get all my stuff under one, but I got kicked off Twitter with my Dougie Dangerous handle on Twitter. Now you can find me at Funny Fiduciary on TikTok and Instagram. Twitter and Dougie Dangerous on Instagram. Thanks again, guys, for joining us. You guys stay safe, stay well, and God bless you both. And we'll see you next time right here at the same spot. Take care.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having me.
It was fun. Thank you.
All right.
Wake up!
I'm not psycho!
Wake up.
Wake up!